Reaching the final frontier. How does that theme strike you? I don't dare ask you. Some would say, well, it's a little corny. Or you might say, that's what we expected. Something that's catchy, something that sounds good and spiritual. A good motto to have. Reaching the final frontier. Is it just a motto? Is it just something, some catchy phrase that we dreamed up in a committee meeting at one point to use as a theme for our conference? I want you to know a little bit about how that theme grew on me, because it was not something that was chosen lightly. It was something that began to burn in my heart, actually, when I first came home from the mission field, and then when I took this position at Emmanuel Faith as your missions pastor, and I looked out at the hundreds of young people that we have in our church, and I looked at the resources, both financial and human, that we have in our church, and then began to contemplate things like the film series that we've had, and realize there are frontiers yet to be reached. And so that theme was something that grew in my own heart over a period of months. Have we done the job? Is it just about over? Are we just about through? So many of our missionaries report strong, healthy local churches in the countries where they are. And I remember when I would come home on furlough from a country that was 20% evangelical, people would say, well, if you've got such a strong, healthy church, why are you there? And I'll have to admit, I began to think, well, maybe we are just about done. Maybe the job is just about finished. After all, there are missionaries in Asia, Africa, Latin America, all the major areas of the world. Is the job about over? And then my mind began to be directed to some of the facts that we've seen in these movies. An organization such as U.S. Center for World Missions and others began to talk about hidden people, and it began to sink in on me that even though we have covered the world with the gospel, there are areas yet to be reached. So came the idea for a theme, reaching the final frontiers, taking another look at the world and saying, okay, we've covered the world once. Where have we missed? Have you ever done that when you painted a wall? You're painting and painting and painting, and then you're ready to clean your brushes, and you look up and, there's a spot. And you paint in there, and then pretty soon you're going around, and you're just touching up all over the place. Areas that you missed on the first time over. And that's what we hope to do as we end up the 20th century. Take another look at the world and say, where have we missed? Where have we concentrated too much of our time and not enough? What do we need to do to finish the task? So if I've said to you the goal is to reach the final frontiers, and I've said that it's not just a catchy slogan, I'd like to wrap up our conference tonight concentrating on that theme and asking some questions. Why do we need to keep working? And one of the answers is found in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, 14. That verse says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. And I'd like to state that the first reason why we must continue to reach out to those final frontiers is that the Lord is not coming back until the task is done. Now, we could discuss a little bit of eschatology here, and I don't want to get into a detailed discussion of just what aspect of the Lord's coming this particular verse refers to. But I think we can prove from this and some other scriptures that we're going to look at tonight that the Lord is awaiting the finished task before He returns. He is not going to return until the job is done. Now, some may argue, but we're talking about the sovereignty of God here. Isn't this all in God's plan? Isn't the day and the hour fixed? You mean to say God is waiting around to see what we do before He decides when He will come back? No. Not in the least. God knows when He's coming back. God knows the eternal timetable. But folks, we can't escape the fact that there is human responsibility to complete that timetable. God isn't sitting up in heaven saying, gee, I wish they'd hurry up. I'd sure like to come back today, but the job isn't done. Nothing of the sort. And yet, the verse remains, the gospel must be preached. The task must be finished before He will return. We talk about hastening the day of the Lord. Do you want to hasten the day of the Lord? Would you like to see the Lord return? Then we must be busy about the task, because He will not return until the job is done. We have verses that talk about this paradox between human responsibility and God's sovereignty all the time. We have a verse that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Does man have to work out his own salvation? Yes, he does. At the same time, the verse goes on to say, for it is God who works within you. And there we see that paradox. Man busy, but God is really doing it. Do we have to be busy to bring the Lord's return? Yes, we do. But we're not saying that the Lord is somehow being frustrated in His plans because of us. We do need to realize, however, and I maintain, that the Lord will not come until the task is done. How many of you would like to see the Jewish kingdom return and the millennium come in and the rapture and all those things, and to see the Jews saved as prophecy would indicate? How many of you would like to see that? How many of you are praying and long for the salvation of Israel? A few? Of course we do. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 11? Romans chapter 11 and verse 25 says, Paul speaks to his own people in regards to why God turned His attention from the Jews to the Gentiles. He says, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this ministry, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Would you like to see Israel saved? Let's win Gentiles to Christ. Because until that full measure of Gentiles has come in, the partial hardening will continue. You want to see God's plan taken to its conclusion? And Israel restored and as a nation and God's plan of the ages fulfilled? The Gentiles must be reached. One missionary to the Muslims likes to go into congregations and ask them that same question, how many of you want to see Israel saved? Then he reads this verse and he says, go win Muslims to Christ. You want to see Jews saved, win Muslims to Christ. That's the way it'll happen. Until the fullness of the Gentile. And Muslims are Gentiles. Do you want to see Jews saved? Do you want to see God's plan end? Win your neighbors to Christ. Speak to those Vietnamese neighbors. Speak to those people down the block who have moved in. Go on a Mexico outreach trip. Go to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the way to bring about Christ's return. We must reach the final frontiers because Christ will not return until we do. There's a second reason why we must reach the final frontiers. And that is because God has ordained that His kingdom will have representatives from every tribe and nation and tongue on the earth. If you'll allow me, I'll just read to you some verses because they're from different portions of the Word of God. In Zephaniah 2:11, God speaks about all the coastlands will bow down to Him, everyone from his own place. Psalm 72, 8-11 says, "May He rule from sea to sea. Let the nomads of the desert bow down before Him. Let all the kings bow down before Him. All the nations serve Him." That's what the Old Testament says. How about the New Testament? Revelation 5:9 says of Jesus Christ, "Thou wast slain and didst purchase with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Revelation 14:6 says that our job is to preach to every tribe and tongue and people. Why must we reach the final frontiers? We must reach them because God wants representatives of the entire earth in His kingdom. And we must be diligent to see that that happens. Are we ignoring anybody? Does it bother you that only 7% of seminarians ever go to the foreign field? 7% of seminarians go to the foreign field. Does that seem like maybe a little unbalanced? As you looked at these four films, did they look very foreign to you? Did it bother you when we talked about the Muslim world? One lady went to a man who was giving a seminar on reaching Muslims for Christ, and she said, "I think," she said this after a service, she said, "I think I live next door to those kind of people that you were talking about." You do. Well, let me see. Describe them a minute. Well, they wear these funny robes, and the women wear these black things, and they even cover their whole head. And the man said, "Yes, I think we can safely assume that you live next door to one of those people." That's right. "Well, what should I do? I mean, your sermon has convicted me. I'd like to do something to reach those people." He said, "Well, would you follow my instructions? You're looking at me as an expert in the field. Would you follow my instructions? Would you allow me to tell you?" "Well, yes, I think so." "Well, would you do exactly what I tell you to do?" She had to think a while on that one. Very afraid of these people. But finally, he convinced her, and she said, "Okay, whatever you say." She said it with fear in her heart, "but whatever you say, I'll do." "Okay, this is what you do. You bake a cake. That's number one. Then you go over next door, and you take the cake, you knock on the door, and whoever answers the door, you say these words, 'I'm your next door neighbor, and I'm sorry I haven't ever met you before, and I brought you this cake to show you that I want to be your friend.'" What was he saying? We have, through fear or indifference or prejudice or whatever, assumed that somehow it's some terrible task to reach people. And what this man was saying was, be a friend. Go next door and meet your neighbors. If you don't know what they're like, ask them what they're like. He did that. And the people couldn't believe it. The first Western friend that they had, he simply brought over a cake like he would with any other white Anglo-Saxon Protestant neighbor. Could it be that we're prejudiced? We're not, are we? Shake your head. No. I hope we're not. Or are we? Iran. That's a Muslim country, you know. How do we feel about Iran? I've seen some bumper stickers that show how some people feel. Did you know that of all the Muslim people groups, and there are a number of different nations, of all the people groups, Iranian Muslims are probably the most open to the gospel at this time. And what have we Americans done? Through prejudice, through righteous indignation, we may be closing the door to one of the most open people groups there are. You see, God wants people from every people group, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people. And if we're ignoring huge chunks of the world's population, if we're concentrating on the easy areas, or concentrating on the areas that are most like us, or concentrating on the most accessible areas, we're ignoring God's perspective. If we're allowing prejudice or indifference or foreignness or anything else to keep us from reaching the goal that God has for us, He's not going to return. And the final frontiers are not going to be reached. And that day is going to be delayed. What language are we going to speak in heaven? What language? Good girl, Espanol. You bet. Or what do you think? What do you think? What language are we going to speak in heaven? Some people say Hebrew. Heaven help us. Sorry. What language are we going to speak? What culture? We all going to go to church on Sunday morning in heaven in suits and ties? What culture are we going to follow? Are meetings all going to start and end on time? Or what's it going to be like in heaven? You say, well, that's a stupid question. How do we know? I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be a multicultural, maybe even multilingual. Maybe it's that we'll speak all our languages in heaven. And we'll just have the ability to understand. I don't know. We don't know. All I'm saying is that heaven, I believe, is going to be a place of variety, of multiculture. You know, God created the cultures. God allowed the cultures to happen. Many people say that the Tower of Babel was a curse of God, that the formation of different cultures was part of the curse. No. The Tower of Babel, or the confusion of the tongues, came about at Babel because the people refused to disperse. God's desire in those early chapters of Genesis was that the people would disperse. And if you go back and read Genesis 11 carefully, the confusion of the tongues came precisely because they refused to separate. God said, go on, fill, populate the earth. And He knew good and well what would happen. Why, in Guatemala, where I was for 10 years, my own language that I learned, the mom language, was divided up into many different dialects just from the villages that people lived in. When you separate people out, you begin to get diversity and different culture. And I'd like to maintain that the languages, the multiplicity of languages, wasn't the curse. The curse was that God had to confuse the languages to get them out because they refused to move out. God wants diversity. God wants variety. There's another reason why we must reach the final frontiers. And that is because God has ordained that we be busy about His work when He returns. You say, well, what if I don't get involved? You mean the Lord won't come back if I don't get involved? No, that's not the case. The Lord will come back on schedule, but you won't be part of the blessing. The Lord's return won't be 1 minute later than He plans for it to be. But you'll be found asleep when He returns. No, His coming isn't really delayed. The question is, are you going to be a part of what God's doing in the world? Are you going to be in on the blessing? Are you going to be one of those found busy when He returns? We've got to be busy reaching those final frontiers because that's what God wants us to be, and that's busy. Revelation 22:12 says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I says, I'm returning quickly. How many times does He say, I'm returning quickly? In the hour that you think not, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, like a thief in the night. The story of the virgins that didn't have their oil ready. Passage after passage, parable after parable, all speaks about the fact that the Lord is returning. He's returning at a moment when we think not, and He expects to find us ready and busy. And so the question is not really, even though I said at the beginning, the question is not really, will the Lord's coming be retarded? The question is, will we be a part of the action when He returns? 1 Thessalonians 5, 4-6 says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. So then let us not sleep as others do." Some are sleeping, folks. Some aren't paying any attention. Some aren't concerned about faith promised goal. 800 and some people have turned in pledge or faith promise cards. 800 and some, I believe it's 826. Family units, either singles or families. How many family units do we have in the church? Are there only 800? Other than that, there's more folks. Some are asleep. Some don't care. Some aren't going to be honoring a faith promise when the Lord returns. How about our young people? How about going? How about getting involved in discipleship, evangelism on your own campus? Are you going to be busy when He returns? Or are you going to be asleep as some are? Let's not sleep as others do, He says, but let us be alert and sober. Ephesians 5:16 says, making the most of your time. Why? Why? Because the days are evil. Are they evil, folks? Are they evil enough for us? You bet they are. Are they going to get worse? Yes, they are. And so as the days get worse and worse, what do? We make more and more and more of our time. We get more involved in faith promise, not less. We consider more strongly the call to go, not less. We get more involved in evangelism and discipleship in our neighborhoods, in our caring groups, in our Asian outreach, in our international students ministry. We get more involved, not less, folks. We reach out to those final frontiers because God expects to find us busy. He's coming quickly, and He's coming with a reward. He's going to pay every man and woman and boy and girl and young person on the basis of what they're doing. You've got to reach final frontiers because the Lord cannot return until they're reached. We've got to reach final frontiers because God wants a multiplicity, a diversity of cultures, languages, tongues that make up His church. And we've got to be busy reaching those final frontiers because He expects to find us alert, awake, making the most of our time. What does it mean? Well, we're starting a special group for those who want to get involved in missions. The first meeting, I'll announce to you now, and we'll be announcing in the future, is April 8th, Sunday, April 8th. We had 20 young people and adults that came out last Wednesday night to have a little formation meeting of this group. We're going to meet every month in a training program that will allow you to find out if you should be planning on going. It's not just for kids. It's for any man, woman, or child that says, I believe God might want me in missions, but I need to investigate further. April 8th, Sunday, April 8th, will be the first meeting of that group. It may mean being a friend to an international student. And the opportunities are here all the time. And our people get discouraged because they put announcements in the bulletin and they make announcements in Sunday school and pastor makes announcements from the pulpit. And how many say, yes, I'd give up one weekend or two weekends or three weekends a year to be a friend to an international? Yes, I'd open my home. Yes, I'd be part of the Easter outreach to internationals. Mexico Outreach, we have 175 young people going down once a year. Now Dennis Keating would like to start a group that goes every month to Mexico. An opportunity to get involved. You don't have time to go to Tijuana every month? How about coming on Monday night to our literacy center? We need one couple right now to get involved with the children in the children's ministry. You don't have to be a tutor. You don't have to have training. You have to have a heart to reach Asian children and come and be a part of the ministry. There's an opening right now. You don't feel you have that gift? Can you drive a bus? Are you one of the people on our list? Would you like to get a bus driver's license? We need bus drivers for our Asian ministry right now. Spanish church right here on our property. You can invite your neighbors and friends. If you have neighbors who speak Spanish, you can bring them to church with you, and they have Sunday school and church, evening service, midweek group right here on our property. You can be a part of the giving. Young people, have you made a faith promise? High schoolers, junior highers? Have you asked God what in faith you could take? Adults, families, only 826 or so have filled out a faith promise card. There are so many ways to reach the final frontier. We're going to be doing everything we can in the coming year to see that this goal of reaching the final frontier doesn't die. If you want to go, if you want to give, if you want to pray, if you want to be a part of a local ministry, this church is here to give you the opportunity. The days are not going to get better or easier. God wants His people to be found faithful to hasten His return. Our Father, don't let this be a slogan to us. Don't let this be one more theme that we think about for a month and then forget. God, help each one of us to ask ourselves and to ask You, Lord, what would You have me to do? Do You want me to plan to go? Do You want me to fill out a faith promise card? Do You want me to get involved in the missions interest group? Could I witness to that foreign person who moved in down the street? What, Lord, would You have me to do? And then, Lord, don't let us put it off. Don't let us say, well, I'm going to have to do that sometime. God, help us to be doers of Your word and not hearers only. Bless us, encourage us, and direct us to do what You'd have us to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.